Well, good evening. We are going to be continuing a series that we started this year on the topic, the danger of, and then we fill in the blank. We've had a couple of those lessons. We talked about the danger of apathy. We've also talked about some other things in relationship to dangerous situations spiritually. And tonight, I would like for us to look at the danger of pride. When we think about pride, I think the quintessential text that comes to mind is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Pride is a root sin. It's very fundamental. It is responsible for many, many other sins that we commit. When we think about the Bible and its teaching, and we look back through the history of man that has committed sin, we find that almost every Bible character sinned due to their own pride. Adam and Eve's sin in the garden was due to pride because Eve saw that it was desired to make one wise, and she wanted to be wise, so that was pride working. Saul's envy of David was rooted in Saul's pride, and he did not want David to take over his throne. When we think about David's adultery with Bathsheba, that was rooted in pride and trying to get rid of the evidence so that he wouldn't be convicted. He got rid of Uriah the Hittite, you know, so that he might marry Bathsheba and then sort of gloss it over as if nothing wrong had been done. But his pride took over. Ahab's murder of Naboth was all about his pride. He wanted that vineyard. And you remember Jezebel came in and said, "Aren't you the king? Don't you have right to do whatever you want to do? You just go, you do this." And she concocted that evil plan to have false witnesses testify against Naboth. And then they stoned him to death. And then Nebuchadnezzar, picture of him we just saw a moment ago on our first slide. Nebuchadnezzar there, he was also lifted up with pride. And because of his pride, the book of Daniel records, God turned him into a wild beast for many years. And when he was then restored, he recognized his error. And so pride is a root sin. It's a fundamental sin. And many other sins result from pride. Let's look at 3 points this evening about pride and why pride is dangerous. Pride is dangerous, number one, because it is deceiving. Number two, because it is divisive. And number three, because it is destructive. And we want to understand that pride has terrible consequences that destroy ourselves and destroy our relationships with God and with others. First of all, pride is dangerous because it is deceiving. Pride causes self-deception. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, we read these words, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" What is deceitful? The heart. What is our heart? It's us, the center of our being. That's pride. Our heart tries to justify, our heart tries to explain away our sin, our heart tries to tell others that, well, it's not as bad as we think it is, but the truth of the matter is the heart deceives us. Also, in Genesis 3 and verse 6, we alluded to this a moment ago, when Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she was convinced that it was desirable to make one wise. And that was pride that led her to that conclusion. And then we remember Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verses 10 through 12. It says, "And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean.'" Now notice Naaman's pride coming out. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." In other words, he had expectations. His expectations came from his pride. He was a great man, he thought, and he thought that he ought to be treated like a great man. That's pride. And then he reasons about the river, the Jordan River, that old muddy, nasty Jordan River. And he says, there's better rivers up in Damascus. That's again his pride coming out. Are not the Abana and the Pharfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, all fueled by his pride. Pride is responsible for self-deception. Pride is also, let's look at Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 here, as we think about pride being responsible for lying, okay? These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Notice the list, a proud look, and right after that, a lying tongue. And so pride is often responsible for people who tell lies. Remember that old prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 18? The story was that a young prophet came up to rebuke the king of the northern tribes of Israel, Jeroboam, and tell him that the kingdom was going to be taken away from him. And so, but God told him when he went up there, he said, don't turn to the right hand or the left. Don't go to anybody's house to eat. And don't come back the same way you went. And so he had delivered his message. He was on his way back to Judah, the southern kingdom, when an old prophet came up to him. And he told him, I'm sorry, I can't do it. The Lord has given me the instructions not to eat with anyone. But then the old prophet lied. He said, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. Notice the parenthetical comment. He was lying to him. Why did he do that? Because of his pride. Because he wanted to do something for that young prophet. Of course, there's the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, who gave half of what they earned from a property, but told everybody that they had given everything that they earned from that property. And that also has its roots in pride, trying to be elevated among others by representing oneself in a dishonest way and making it look like you're much better than you really are. That was pride working there. And Peter said to Ananias, he said, while it remained, was it not in your own control? And after it sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And so pride is responsible for lies as well. Matthew chapter 15 and verses 18 through 20, Jesus points out that pride is responsible for blasphemy. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile a man. I'm sorry, false witness is what I was trying to get at. The heart, again, we see the heart responsible for these sins. And the heart is our own center, the center of our being. And that is where pride comes from. And out of the heart, a proud heart, all of these sins take place. And false witnesses is among that. When we think about false witnesses, again, we go to the story of Ahab in 1 Kings 21, verse 13, who raised false testimony against Naboth. The text says, and two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. False witness is a legal legal lying, you know, lying under oath or lying in a legal situation. When the Jewish leaders put Jesus to death, they did so because of their own pride. Remember, they were worried that if Jesus had his way, that Rome would come in and Rome would take away their place among the nation. That was their pride. They wanted to keep their place. They wanted to be the kind of leaders that had the power, you know. And that was pride. And so they brought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Matthew 26 here, 59 through 60. In Matthew says, even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward. And they accused Jesus of wanting to destroy the temple. And so pride is responsible for deceit. The danger, pride is dangerous because it is, first of all, deceitful. From pride comes false testimony. From pride comes lies. And from pride comes self-deception. But then pride is also divisive. It's divisive. Pride divides man from God. In Isaiah 59, in verses 1 through 3, the prophet says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God," or separated you from your God, "and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity." So they had separated themselves from God because of their sins. And remember, pride is the root of sin. And so their pride was responsible for their being separated from God. They wouldn't humble themselves before God and serve Him and obey Him. They wanted to do things their own way. And so they ended up being separated from God. And sin separates us from God even today. Again, we go back to the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, 22 through 23. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." And so God sent them away from that place of fellowship with God, and the fellowship with God was broken because of their sin. We've already seen that that sin was related to pride. Pride divides men from God, but it also divides brother from brother. Now look at Paul's statement to Timothy here in 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5. It says, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud." There it is. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourselves. And so these proud individuals ended up dividing brother from brother because they wanted to do things their own way. When we think about pride dividing brother from brother, we think about Cain and Abel in Genesis 4. Cain's pride in his own evil works was what pushed him to kill Abel. 1 John 3 and verse 12 says, "Not as Cain," don't be like Cain, "who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his own works, or because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. And when God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice, but did not have respect unto Cain's sacrifice, that hurt his pride. And pride kicked in and started devising a plan. And he became envious then of Abel's acceptance with God. And God tried to help Cain, but then Cain took things into his own hands. Proverbs 28 verse 25 says this, "He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. And so pride stirs up strife. It divides brother from brother. Pride also divides the church. And you remember in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3 that Paul had to address the Corinthians' problem with their own worldly wisdom. They decided to go with their own wisdom as opposed to God's wisdom. And they divided themselves. And Paul says, "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Divisions. There were divisions among them that resulted from their pride of saying, "I am of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos," and another, "I am of Cephas." And they divided themselves because of that great pride that they had. And Paul had to rebuke them for that. Pride is also seen in Jude 1, 16 through 19 with these false prophets that came in among the church. Jude describes them here. He says, "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons," watch it, "who cause divisions, not having the Spirit." They cause divisions. And where does that motivation come from? It came from their own pride. They wanted to be right. They wanted to have the control. They wanted to have their way with the congregations of God's people. And so they cause divisions there. They were proud. Pride divides brother and divides the church. But then finally, pride is dangerous because it is destructive. Pride is destructive. It destroys lives. Consider the destructive power of pride on Nebuchadnezzar's life in Daniel chapter 5 and verses 20 and 21. Let's take a look at that real quick. Daniel chapter 5 and verses 20 and 21. There it is spoken about that Nebuchadnezzar was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. And they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and appoints over it whomsoever he chooses. But look at verse 20 here at the top. "When his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." So his heart was lifted up. He was full of pride, and pride goes before destruction, and that's exactly what happened to him. The book of Esther records a situation where pride almost destroyed all of God's people. You remember the story of Esther and the man by the name of Haman, who was so proud that when Mordecai did not bow down to him, he decided he was going to take revenge against him. Now notice what initiated that kind of response against God's people. It was the fact that Mordecai didn't bow down to him. His pride was working there. He wanted Mordecai to bow down to him, and he didn't. And so his pride filled him with wrath, Esther 3 and verse 5 says. In Mark 7 and verses 20 through 23, again, Jesus talking here, he says, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy," notice, pride in this list, "foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." And so pride is listed among all of those other sins as coming from the heart. Pride destroys our lives, and pride destroys our relationships, and pride destroys the soul. In Mark chapter 7 and verses 20 through 23, and oh, I just read that one, that's right. Notice that pride was responsible in this verse. Pride was responsible for corrupting the heart. That defiles a man, Jesus says. These sins, pride being among them, it destroys a soul. 1 John 2 and verse 6, John writes, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Again, what happens to those who are friends with the world? James says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." James 4 and verse 4. And pride will make one an enemy of God. Psalm 101 and verse 5, look at what it says about pride destroying the soul. "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has, notice, a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure." And then the sin of pride is listed in Romans chapter 1 and verse 30 as those who are deserving of death. And so pride is very destructive. So when we think about the danger of pride, I want us to remember these three points tonight. Pride is dangerous because it is, first of all, deceitful. It's responsible for lies, self-deception, and for false witnesses. Pride is dangerous, secondly, because it is divisive. It divides man from God. It divides brother from brother, and it divides the church. And pride is dangerous because it destroys lives. It destroys, it is destructive. It destroys life. It destroys relationships. And it will destroy the soul eternally. Well, tonight we offer the invitation of Jesus Christ to put away one's pride and humble themselves before Him. By hearing His word and believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized, you can become a child of God. If you are a Christian and you need help with the sin of pride, then you can ask for prayers this evening. And come now while together we stand and while we sing.